You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And we've got yet another great program for you today, folks. Karen Brinson Bell, Executive Director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections, returns to the show, this time to talk about the upcoming general election and the important deadlines and rules that you need to be aware of. But before we get to that, folks, as always, I'm joined here in the studio by our esteemed production engineer, partner in crime, co-conspirator, a man of many talents, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how you doing, my friend?
Good. That was quite a list. I enjoyed that.
All off the top, too, here, buddy, I say. We are meeting a little bit earlier today.
Just a little bit. That's okay.
And sometimes you just need a little, you know, sometimes you just need to go off the top, freestyle, so to speak, and throw in a little extra adjective, a little extra title for you there.
I appreciate the accolades. I think some accolades might be in order for either Karen or Mac. They have to be the reigning champion for guests on the show.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because you're right, because it's been several times. I've lost count. I know it's at least three, maybe four times that Karen has been here on the program. We're delighted to have her. And every time has been in the studio, not via Zoom. And that's not a knock on those of you who have joined us via Zoom. We'd like to have you any way we can. But there's something special always about having somebody, and Karen's such a great personality and smile. And we like to talk, chit-chat about, you know, performing arts and other sorts of stuff that's going on that our families like to go to and all that. And it's just a good, you know, always a good guest and obviously chock full of information and a great resource once it come talking about our election. So I'm glad you feel the same thing. You feel the same way, Jason.
Yeah, we need to create some sort of AARP Without Limits, you know, friend of the show award or something. I guess everyone's a friend of the show.
Yeah, kind of like with YouTube, you know, you get a certain number of subscribers and you get a little plaque or something. Uh-huh. Or eBay, like, you know, they do that too. And yeah, we've got to have something like that, you know, five times probably will be our thing here. We'll have to, I'm sure she's in need of coffee mugs. Everybody's in need of coffee mugs and tumblers and those other types of standard gifts. Anyway, enough of that. Before we get on to talking with Karen, Jason, I want to mention something that is a little bit timely. And Karen's on now with us because, you know, deadlines around election, the upcoming election are really, really important. And we want to make sure we got her on as soon as possible, right around Labor Day. But also, you know, I wanted to talk about a report that AARP just put out just for a moment so folks are aware of it. And this is dealing with prescription drugs. Now, you may have known there's some legislation that passed last year that did a number of things. One of the things that it did is that it created or gave Medicare the ability to be able to negotiate drug prices for certain drugs within the Part D program. Part D was created back in 2005 under the George W. Bush administration. You might remember it's called the Medicare Modernization and Improvement Act. And among doing a number of things, it created the Part D program. You know, for 40 years, Medicare existed without a prescription drug benefit. States had to pick up the costs for those types of things often. Most states didn't. And so this addition to Medicare was a big deal. However, it wasn't a perfect bill. And there were a lot of controversies around that bill back then. AARP supported the bill because we realized that seniors really needed relief and needed to have a true prescription drug benefit, however imperfect it was going to be. Here we are now many years later, literally just about 20 years later, and Medicare finally has the right to be able to negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies. And that was specifically prohibited in the original law. So this is a really big deal for consumers. And I think the timeliness of this report is really, really important because there has been, you know, for some reason, prescription drug costs, like other things, get politicized. And I tell you what, folks, if you or a family member need prescription drugs for, you know, whatever condition you have or illness you have, it doesn't matter who you voted for, what your party registration is, what your worldview is. You know, you need assistance. You need the best care possible, the best prescriptions possible, if that's what your doctor has prescribed to you. And in many countries across the world, their prescription drug costs are way, way less than what they are here in the United States. And if you do a little bit of research, you see, wow, these are American companies, many of them. Many of these drugs developed by U.S. taxpayer dollars for research and development. And the pharmaceutical companies negotiate drug prices with these other countries, but not with us. And so the high cost of prescription drugs we have here in the United States, in essence, is the American taxpayer subsidizing the lower costs that are in other countries, which is just absurd, flatly on its face, obviously. And so this has been something literally since the day that the Part D program was created. AARP, though we supported it, said, okay, now we need to improve it. And for a long time, we've been fighting to get these improvements. And there's an AARP report now showing just the vast savings that seniors are going to be able to see beginning in 2025. About 110,000 North Carolinians, Jason, are going to be seeing savings next year. And that's just really, really huge. In addition to that, there's going to be a cap now for people on Part D, capping their out-of-pocket cost at $2,000. So that information, we'll make sure that we link in the description for this show on our social media. But I wanted to share that just because it's come out this week and it's been really, really important. So anyway, let's get on to our guest, Jason, because we have a lot of good questions for our guest, Karen Brinson Bell. Again, she's the executive director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Back to the show for how many times is it? Four times? How many is it, Karen?
I'm not sure. I just have never forgotten that I was your first guest. And
that's
so
right.
I think, you know, whether I claim a place because of the number of appearances, I will always get to claim the first appearance.
That's right. And if it's just been, say, four times, you've been to many more states. And I just want to mention that because you have achieved a milestone that most people haven't in our country. And what is that?
Yes, I have to be careful what I tell you. Okay. I have just recently achieved visiting my 50th U.S. state, so I have been to all 50 states now.
And the last one was Alaska.
Last one was Alaska.
Never been there. Is it as beautiful as they say?
It is incredible. Words do not describe how beautiful Alaska is.
That is wonderful. Well, Jason, I think I've got another state to add to my bucket list. I've been to 48. I've not been to Hawaii or Alaska, so I'm close behind you, though I don't know when Alaska is going to happen. So,
anyway, make it happen.
Anyway, thanks for sharing that with us. I'd like to begin getting into the heavier stuff with a bit about what's going on right now. Recently, the State Board has been in the news regarding the approval of a digital university ID as one of the accepted photo IDs for the elections. And there have been a number of lawsuits. Is being in the spotlight like this expected? And how do you and the State Board members navigate these twists and turns so close to an election?
Yes, this is a profession that, you know, we do have to pivot. I think what it really says about the profession is that our work is ongoing all the time, and that the preparations leading up to an election do not just happen, you know, hours or days before election day. The fact that we start voting on September 6th with absentee by mail means that the preparations have been going on really for years when you think about the work that goes on. In terms of this, the digital ID that you mentioned, we have ongoing approval of IDs that are acceptable based on state law. We can accept multiple forms of ID, but they do have to go through an approval process. And UNC Chapel Hill submitted their digital ID that is their primary form of identification for campus purposes. And we can approve university IDs, and the digital ID that UNC Chapel Hill submitted met our criteria. So it got some attention, because that is, you know, a deviation from other IDs that we've approved. But, you know, it it's the way that we're moving. There are many states. I think 19 states actually have driver's license that are digital now. North Carolina's in the works for that, is my understanding. So, you know, there's controversial topics that the state board has to take on. And, you know, that's why we have a five-member board who serve in this sort of quasi-judicial role. And I serve as the administrator to carry out their decisions or to carry out what's prescribed by law.
And just to dig a little bit deeper into that, we'll talk about photo ID after the commercial break. But this being the first general election now, presidential election that we have, where photo ID is a requirement in North Carolina, I imagine it's got to be very frustrating to be, at this point that we're recording this, literally a week before early voting starts in North Carolina, right? And to have these wrinkles and flaw suits and things pop up.
Actually, it's pretty typical. I mean, we had a lawsuit in 2020 that had us to change the access to the absentee portal for visually impaired voters. We had 21 days to pull that off.
Wow. So,
you know, that's what's really key, is to have all the I's dotted and T's crossed that you can, so that you are prepared for the quick changes that have to happen. And, you know, the digital ID, we had that mapped out in terms of the approval process so that we could be ready for the start of absentee by mail voting. And then we'll go into the early voting and election day voting and have people prepared.
That's fantastic. Well, I have to say, Karen, you know, one of the things that I appreciate is how difficult your job is and must be for the other members of the board, because I think a lot of days it must feel like it's a thankless job, right, where you've got folks who are complaining about this or that and you're trying to navigate things, and many people don't appreciate just how challenging that can be. But, you know, your view now, and having you on here four times, I think, on the show, you know, just your professionalism from start to finish, even when the mics are off, is exemplary. So it's a pleasure to have you on. And when we get after the commercial break, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty and some of the details and what folks really need to know about this upcoming general election. This is AARP Without Limits, folks. We'll be right back after this break. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a recommendation or a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Karen Brinson Bell. She's the Executive Director of North Carolina State Board of Elections. And Karen, obviously, as we've mentioned, we've had you on the show a few times now, and each time it seems that we've been going over what changes are now in effect for voting in North Carolina. We had a primary back in March. Most voters, of course, did not participate in that and may not be aware that photo ID is now law of the land. So please walk us through what the new requirement is, what kind of IDs are acceptable, and so forth.
You're right. We go through a lot of changes in elections in North Carolina, and that's why I'm always appreciative that you have me on, so that I can, you know, let your listeners hear what those changes are and try to educate the public as much as we can. In 2023, after many court cases, there's actually still one out there, but it looks like we'll proceed on without change right now. But in 2023, for the municipal elections, was our enactment of photo ID at the polling places and for absentee by mail voting in North Carolina. We had that in effect for the primary, but this general election, you know, it's presidential. And so this is when we have our largest turnout. So we know that more people need to know that when they come to vote in person or by mail, they are asked to provide photo identification. Those types of ID are numerous. Most people will provide their driver's license, maybe a passport, maybe a veteran's ID. But for the most part, you know, there's many types of ID available. And we actually are about to go on air and imprint with a photo ID campaign that was funded through the legislation that focuses on bring it, your ID, your vote. And so you can find out more about all these types of IDs at bringitnc.gov or at the state board website, ncsbe.gov.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I was on the State Board of Elections website recently and saw the video up there, and just a great resource because so many people, you know, so many people could choose to get their information through video now. And that's easy, I imagine, to share on social media where people can just see and get it out there and it appears in their TikTok or whatever, and you're getting the message out there that you need to in an easy way. So for folks who are thinking about this thing, okay, I have that kind of ID. What happens if the scenario is if I get to my polling site that day to vote and I realize I didn't actually bring my ID with me, I left it at home?
North Carolina law allows for an exception form. So if someone presents themselves to vote in person and does not have their ID with them, they can complete the form indicating that. They'll vote a provisional ballot, and then they can take that ID to the County Board of Elections before we certify the election provide that. Similarly, that exception form, you can also indicate why you were not able to get an acceptable form of ID. Natural disaster, lack of transportation, something of that nature is on that form and is an acceptable reason of why someone may not be able to provide ID when they present themselves to vote. Similarly, the person who votes absentee by mail does receive that exception form with their ballot packet, and if they cannot make a photocopy of that ID, they can indicate that and return the exception form instead with their ballot. So the goal here is for folks to understand that don't let this deter you from voting and showing up to vote. We have an exception form if you do not have a proper form of ID that is permitted by law for you to complete and still be able to vote.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, I recently went to Turks and Caicos, and I was like, okay, I know I got to bring my passport with me. And it was such a no-brainer. And then I'm literally walking out the door, and I went, oh, my gosh, I almost left without my passport. It happens to everybody.
It does happen.
I'm glad you clarified that. Another change that we've seen in the last couple of years is with mail-in voting. We had COVID. We had the period of time when they would count your vote after Election Day. That's all changed. What's the latest? What are the new rules and deadlines regarding mail-in ballots?
This is really important because after 2020 or with 2020 and COVID, we saw a lot more North Carolinians choose to vote by mail. And that continued even into the 2022 elections. And there have been some changes in place. So we used to have a grace period of receipt of those absentee ballots. That is no longer in effect in North Carolina. The law changed to where the county boards of elections must receive those absentee by mail ballots in that county office by 7:30 p.m. Election Day. It's no longer about the postmark or anything like that. They must be in the hand of the county boards of elections by 7:30 p.m. Election Day. So folks really need to plan their vote. Mm-hmm. If they're going to mail it back in, we know from the Postal Service they've changed their delivery parameters and so forth. So give it at least a week to make sure it comes back to us. Because we have the requirement for photo ID or that exception form now in those absentee packets, we had to change the design, so the cost of returning those by mail has gone up. It is 3 forever stamps. That's the easiest way to remember it, or $1.77 to return your absentee by mail ballot by the mail. Still in place are our requirements to have 2 witnesses or a notary to sign that absentee return envelope indicating that you were the voter who marked that ballot. The voter also does that, and if they received assistance, there's a section for assistance to be completed.
Okay, really good information here. And as you were mentioning here, there's the deadline now with receiving this is 7:30 p.m. on Election Day. There are other deadlines that folks need to know about too. Please give us a rundown, if you could, from top to bottom, right to Election Day.
So I'll finish out with absentee by mail. We are the first in the nation to send out absentee by mail ballots. So we're accepting those requests now. We're fulfilling those on September 6th. And as they continue to come in, we'll continue to fulfill those. We can accept absentee by mail requests up until 1 week before the election. So that date is October the 29th, 5 p.m., close of business. We can accept those requests for absentee ballots. But remember, the turnaround time on that is really tight, so
right.
Make your request early. We also have voter registration deadline is October the 11th. That's when the books technically close so that we can update our rolls. But we do have same-day registration in North Carolina. So someone can register and vote during the early voting period. That is not available on election day. You must already be registered to vote on election day, but you can do same-day registration during the early voting period. And that early voting period starts October the 17th and runs until the Saturday before election day. So that's November 2nd. And then if you haven't voted by election day, you still have that on November the 5th. And polls in every county will be open 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. We'll have about 2,500 polling places open, but on election day, you vote in your election day precinct. During early voting, you can go to any of the sites that are available in your county.
Okay, this is all important information, and this is all available on the State Board of Elections website.
Absolutely. And we are also, so our state board website is ncsbe.gov. That will give you all of these deadlines that I've been talking about. It'll give you information on photo ID and what's acceptable ID. It'll tell you about how to get a free ID if you want to do that through the County Board of Elections for voting purposes. There is just a wealth of information. And if that's not enough for you, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and X. Also known as Twitter, formerly known as Twitter.
That's right. Okay, very good. And for those of you who are in the car who maybe didn't have a pen and weren't able to jot down those deadlines and those web addresses, if you say, oh, what was that web address again? I heard it on the AARP show. Go to aarp.org/North Carolina, and we actually have a link to a voter education page, which links to the State Board of Elections page, so you can get all that really information, good information. In the last minute while we've got you here, Karen, there's a lot of misinformation out there regarding voting, registration, and so forth. Are there any really significant bits of misinformation or confusion that you want to address just to clear the air, make sure folks know?
This is a great question. We are inundated with false information out there. And so we really need people to go to trusted sources of information. And the most trusted source of information on how elections are conducted in North Carolina is the state board website, ncsbe.gov, or your county board of elections. They're happy to answer questions. Some of the things that we see or see now, we've seen before, is misinformation that's put out there that you have to register before every election, or you're receiving texts that are not coming from your election officials that say you're not registered to vote. You can find out where your polling place is. You can check your voter registration, make sure all of your information is up to date on the state board website, ncsbe.gov. Go to the voter search button. It's right there on the homepage, and you can look up your voter registration information and confirm that everything is correct. There's all kinds of things that float around on social media that are completely inaccurate. The latest this week was that we had somehow manipulated the ballot order, and that's not the case. By law, we do a random selection following candidate filing. And we do that by putting the lettered balls into like a bingo roller. And, one ball comes out and that's the determining start letter. And then we flip a coin to determine, whether we're going to go in strict alpha or reverse alpha. Mm. And so on December 15th, 2023, not knowing who would even be the nominees for the various political parties, we determined that we would start with D. And the flip of the coin said that we would go in straight alpha. So, but we've had to clear up how that process even happens. So please follow us on social media and please go to trusted sources of information. And before you reshare or retweet, stop and question and make sure that you are not contributing to the misinformation and that you're helping your fellow citizens be able to exercise their right to vote, which is our mission as well.
Great. Karen, thanks so much for this information and again for making the time on a very busy day to come here to the studio and be with us. We really appreciate it. That is a wrap for today, folks. I want to thank Karen Brinson-Bell for being our guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.